Bibles, I want you to turn to, or your smartphones or however you get there, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 14. I know last week we talked about stay awake, and I mentioned we talked about the second coming of Christ. I am going to do something. I felt the leading of the Lord to go ahead and finish Mark, because I'm going to do Mark 14 today, Mark 15 next Sunday, then Mark 16, and then the Sunday before Christmas is December the 22nd, and I'm going to do a teaching on the second coming of Christ, which is going to be entitled Christmas Number 2, all right? So that's what we're going to do, and I'm going to talk about the second coming and what all goes with that, and because we all need to know, amen? That needs to be taught more in the body of Christ, and I'll be honest with you, I told you all this last week, I've kind of shied away from that just because there's a lot of things that I don't know. And that Sunday night, last Sunday night, we were had our community service, and I sat with Kent and Jennifer, and we were visiting about it. And Kent said something. And I was like, "Dude, that's right. That's what we needed." The bottom line is, we just need to be ready, amen, and stay ready, and stay awake. And that's what I talked about, because there's a lot of different things, and I'm going to talk about that Sunday, December the 22nd, and I believe it's going to open our eyes and. We'll understand some things about the second coming. But the bottom line is, we need to be ready, because nobody knows the day or the hour. It's what Scripture says, what Jesus said. He said, I don't even know. Only my Father knows. And he just basically, in his teaching, said to be ready. Now, he gave us some clues, and we'll talk about that. I don't want to get into all that. Say, I'm wanting to teach it right now. But we'll wait till December the 22nd. But today's title of the message, and I'm going to be putting them back there. You're not going to offend me if you need to turn around and look. Because I do give you a lot of scripture, and you can ask me for the notes, and I'll give them to you. That's no problem at all. But the title of this message is Jesus Prays. Look at somebody and say, Jesus Prays. All right. And here's my sermon in a sentence today. Your battle is won in prayer. I don't care what you're facing, whatever you're going through. It could be a small thing, could be a big thing. But whatever you're going through, your battle is won in prayer. And here's what I want to tell you, too, to go along with that. Make it your first thing to do, not your last thing to do. And that's what we often, a lot of times, do. Oh, has it come to prayer? Yeah. We should have done that first, not last. And so today, if you're taking notes here on the back of your bulletin, and I encourage you to do that, I'm going to give you four principles about prayer, and then I'm also going to give you four practical tips about prayer. So four principles and four practical tips. But we're going to get started in Mark chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 32 through 42. And this is where Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says in verse 32, and they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. That can be translated, and I want you to understand this, Jesus, yes, he was distressed and troubled, but he was also astonished and amazed. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, his other disciples, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then in verse 39, he says, and again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. This all happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want to just give us all a little bit of insight this morning that the battle for your soul, the battle for your salvation, was won in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus won that battle there. It wasn't just at the cross. He was obedient to the cross. He was obedient to do everything that the Father asked him to do. But the battle was won in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it means olive press. That's where Jesus was pressed for us. And when the olive press, what comes out of olives is oil. And that's symbolic of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And here's something else that I found interesting about Jesus. And because remember where this all started at? It was in a garden, the Garden of Eden. Jesus went to this garden often to pray, the Garden of Gethsemane. John 18, verse 2 tells us that this was a place he frequented often, and he brought his disciples along. This was his quiet time place that he went to be with the Father. And that's why when you read the Gospels, that's why when Judas was betraying Jesus, Judas knew where to go find Jesus. He said, well, he's a man of prayer, so I bet money he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And where was Jesus? In the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew his pattern, and his pattern was a life of prayer. All right, so I'm going to give you four powerful principles. This is going to help every one of you in here in your prayer life. Y'all ready for that? Need help in your prayer life? This is going to encourage you in your prayer life. This is encourage you to do prayer first. It's going to encourage you to pray more. It's going to encourage you to pray often. It's going to encourage you to pray for the small things, the in-between things, and the big things. All right? So here's four powerful principles on prayer that will help strengthen your relationship with God. And here's the best definition of prayer I have ever came across. Prayer is transferring burdens. How many of you in here worry a lot or concerned? How many of you have anxiety? Okay, I'm lifting my hands. You know, all those kind of things about life, about every, you know, what you're going to do in the future, this, that. I know we've got some seniors in here this morning. My nephew's here. He's a senior. You know, what you're going to do when you graduate from high school. You know, there's all these anxieties, all these concerns, all these worries. And when you pray, prayer is transferring burdens. And the best scripture I can give you on that is 1 Peter 5:7. It says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Jesus cares for you, and he wants you to come to you first, you to come to him first to cast all your anxieties on him. And when you do that, it helps lighten the load. Amen? And you just feel better, and you're like, no, I gave that to the Lord. He's taking care of me. He's guiding. He's directing me. I'm going to be okay. And everybody said, amen. Okay, that's the thing that I want you to get about prayer. All right, here's number one. The first principle, Jesus prays. Look at somebody and say, Jesus prays. We need audience participation this morning. Jesus prays. And this is in Luke chapter 3, verse. I'm going to give you just kind of a little jet tour through the Gospels. I'm going to show you how much Jesus prayed. Luke 3, verses 21 through 22. It says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, Jesus was praying the day that he was baptized by his cousin John, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Now, I was going to entitle this message, Jesus Prayed, because he's our role model, right? He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And then the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart and said, you know what Jesus is doing right now in heaven? He's still praying. He's your high priest. So I had to change my whole title from Jesus Prayed, past tense, to Jesus Prays, present tense. He's still praying for us. Not only did he pray when he was here, he's still praying right now in heaven. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. All right, here's some more scriptures out of the Gospels. And rising very early in the morning, that's one way you can pray. While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, away from people, away from everything, and there he prayed. Jesus got up early in the morning and went and prayed. Got away from people and went and prayed. Luke 6, verse 12 says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And you know why he prayed all night? The reason why he prayed, has anybody, and don't lift your hand because I haven't, I have never prayed all night. All right, I'm just going to confess to that right now. Jesus did because he had a big decision to make. And his big decision was he was fixing to anoint and appoint 12 apostles, which were his disciples, and he needed to know which ones. Because he had a lot of people following him, but he wanted to know the 12 that he needed to pick. And so he spent all night in prayer, and then God, his Father, spoke to him which one he needed to pick. Mark 6, verse 46, and this is after Jesus fed the 5,000. It says, after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Man, he just spent a whole day ministering to people, healing the sick, doing all those things, casting out demons. He even fed the 5,000. He was wore out. We have to realize that Jesus was, he was a human being in the flesh. He got tired just like we get tired. And it says he had to get away from the people and he went up on the mountain to pray. Luke 9 verse 18 says, "Now it happened that he was praying alone. The disciples were with him and he asked him, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?'" This is a very important scripture, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent. All right. It says, "Now is it happened that as he was praying alone, Jesus, the disciples were with him and he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?'" And that's when they say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, you know, back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah, the prophet, yada, 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 you know." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And they said, "You're the Christ." And the reason why they understood that, you can't understand spiritual things without that revelation from the Holy Spirit. And the reason why they understood that is because Jesus had been praying to them, "Father, reveal who I am to my disciples. Reveal who I am to my disciples." And they understood who he was. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, Jaden and I have already been praying over Jarek that, God, he's going to come to know you at an early age. And he's going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit all the days of his life. And whatever he tells, whatever you tell him to do, he's going to do it. He's going to be obedient to it. And you can pray that over your children. You can pray that over your grandchildren. And you need to be doing that. And everybody said, amen. So that's a very key scripture for that. All right, Luke 9, verse 28, it says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray." He really wanted to sow some things into these guys. He picked these three kind of as his major disciples, and he was wanting to pour into them. And he said, "I want you guys to come with me up on the mountain to pray." And while Jesus was praying, this is the Mount of Transfiguration, what was on the inside of Jesus came out on the outside. The glory of God was revealed. That's where Jesus, that the bright light shined, and, you know, the Father came and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And they were like, "Oh, my gosh," you know. But what Jesus really wanted them to see is his prayer life, is the Father will speak to you on the inside, and when you come down off the mountain, it will come out on the outside to people around you. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" And I want you to understand this. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to heal people." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to do miracles. Lord, teach us where you're, you know, how you get this power." They knew where all this was coming from was from his prayer life. Are y'all starting to get that Jesus was a man of prayer? He was a man of prayer. And that the disciples had spent enough time with him. They spent those 3 years with him. They knew where his power, where miracles, where how this man knows where to be at the right time, at the right place, the direction, how he has this wisdom that even confounds, you know, that's profound, that just stumbles the religious people of the day. This wisdom from God, revelation from God, it came from him spending time with his Father. All right. Mark 14, back to Mark 14, in verses 32 through 35, it says, "And they went to a place called the Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" And he even in Luke, it says that he actually asked them, "I want you guys to pray with me here." And it says he went about a stone's throw away. "And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death.' And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed." I just wanted to read that again, and I'm going to read it out of the Luke chapter 22 where it's told in the Gospel of Luke. And it says, "Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood," hematidrosis is the name of that, "falling down to the ground." That's not just a metaphor or analogy. That actually happened physically. That can actually happen to a person when you are so stressed out and so much in agony. And I just want you to get that picture. That's what he went through for us. And then the book of Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death." Because I've had people say, "Well, I just pray in my heart." Well, yes, we can. And I've done that. When you're in a situation where you can't just pray out loud, you can pray in your heart, pray in your mind, in your heart. But also, the Bible talks about praying with your mouth, speaking, We are speaking spirits. Amen. That's what separates us from the animal kingdom. We speak. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says, this is where the revelation that Jesus is still praying. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is praying that people will come to know him. That's what he's praying for in heaven right now. So he is still praying. Does everybody understand that Jesus prays? And Jesus is, everybody's like, okay, yeah, we've heard enough scriptures, Pastor Mark. Jesus prays and he's still praying. All right, here's number two. Number two, prayer strengthens us. When you pray, you're going to receive spiritual strength from the Lord. Luke 22, verse 43 says, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. You don't realize this. When you pray, there are angels around you giving you strength. You may not ever see them, not unless the Lord gives you that ability to open your eyes to see him. He's done that for some people. He's never done that for me, but I have definitely felt the presence of God through angels. We're not to worship angels, but they are there for us. That's why whenever we're up here during our prayer time, I believe every time we meet, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, we ought to have prayer, worship, and the Word. Those three things, the three pillars. And so when we're up here praying for one another, that's why I say that there's angels encamped about us, and there are, that are ready to be put on assignment by our prayers, by us voicing those prayers. So when you're at home praying or you're in your vehicle praying, your angels are there to assist you, to help you. Even though if you can't see them, they're there. The spirit world is very real. Amen. Prayer strengthens us. All right, here's another scripture. Mark 1, verse 13, it says, and he was in the wilderness 40 days. This is when Jesus did the fasting, when his ministry began. It says, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Prayer, and that's when he was in that prayer and fasting mode. He had angels about him, giving him strength. Hebrews 1, 14, this is for all of us sitting here today. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have angels about you ready to assist you and help you and care for you. That just brings me comfort right now knowing that. That I have, when I can't be with my daughter, when I can't be with my grandson, they have angels about them at all times protecting them. All right, Mark 14, verses 37 through 38 says, and he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you ever prayed? Have you ever fall asleep when you're praying? Oh, I have, yeah. And Jesus understands that. And I love this, and this is an insight. It says, and he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, he called him by his old name. You know, you're acting like your old self. You're sleeping when you should be praying. And he wasn't staying awake, what we talked about last week. All right, so prayer strengthens us. Prayer strengthens us. All right, here's number three. Prayer helps us fight the enemy. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Got to stay alert, stay awake. Prayer helps us fight the enemy. And here's some great scriptures that we read last Sunday. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 18 says, For we do not fight against flesh and blood and enemies, okay? I know a lot of us are in family gatherings right now. You're not fighting against Cousin Eddie. Amen? That's not your fight. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, stay awake, and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Is everybody learning something this morning? Okay, here's the last principle. Number four, prayer is the key to knowing and doing God's will. Mark 14, verses 36 and 39, it says, and he said, Abba, Father, and that's like saying Daddy, Daddy, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And this is what I believe, as I was studying this week about Jesus, he knew that he was what was about to happen. But I believe when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and as he continued to pray, I believe that God began to give him the revelation of everything that was going to happen. And the more he prayed, the more in agony he became. And the more in agony he became, the more he prayed. And the more he saw what was about to happen in the spirit, the more he was saying, I don't want, God, is there any other way to do this? Is there any other way? And then he finally said, not my will, but your will be done. Here's what I want to ask you. When you're in agony, because we all agonize over different things, you know, small things, little things, big things. I encourage you to take that to the Lord. Don't bottle that up inside, that agony. Take it to the Lord, and he'll reveal to you. He'll comfort you. And even during this time, the Holy Spirit, angels, the Father comfort him. And I believe right here when he got the revelation, God, is there any other way this can happen? That he got the revelation that he was going to take the whole sin of the world upon him. Not only was he going to be beaten, he was going to go to the cross, but he's going to take all of our sins upon himself. And there was going to be a period there where he was going to have total separation from God, his Father. Wow. And he did all that for us so that we would never be separated from the Father. And that is just so awesome. And so that is, the prayer is the key to knowing and doing God's will. All right, I wanted to leave you, and I could close right there and we could go home, amen? Just knowing that, but the Lord wants to give us practical tips on prayer, and I want to help you guys with your prayer life. And I'm still learning. Jade and I pray. She prays by herself. I pray by myself. We pray together. There's power in prayer. And I just want to tell you, our lives are prayer. We are constantly worshiping God, trying to. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, and I'm just this gigantic man of prayer, but prayer is a part of my life in my walk with God, and it needs to be it for every Christian. And I'm also encouraging you, you don't have to. You know, a lot of times people get this misconception that, oh, I got to go to the church to pray, and I got to come up here to the altar, and I got to kneel right here, and I got to stay here for an hour and pray. No, you can pray in your pickup, going to work. I do that all the time. Sometimes you just need to shut out the world, shut off the radio, and just pray and let God speak to you. A lot of times, you know, our lives are busy just like your lives. There'll be days when I have to go to Elk City. Jada will call me. And she'll be on the phone. I'll have her on speakerphone, and we just pray together as I drive to Elk City. It's awesome. It's awesome to have a spouse that prays when you pray together with your spouse, and I encourage you to do that. Jada's told me, I don't know how many times she's told me this. She said, Mark, what brings me the most peace and the most comfort and just, you know, is when you pray with me and pray for me. And so I just encourage you guys, do it. It works, and you don't have to be no, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, said, well, you're a professional prayer. I'm like, no, there's no such thing as a pro prayer. You know, everybody can pray. It's just talking to God. That's all that it is. But here's some myths about personal prayer, just a few, and you may have some of your own. I just thought here's three of them that I have thought of is, you know, this myth about you can only pray early in the morning, like from, you know, and we saw this in Jesus' life. He got up early in the morning. It doesn't say that he did that every morning, but that morning he got up early and went and prayed. But a lot of people, you know, they take that and they say, well, I sleep late. I don't like getting up early. You can only, and then, you know, some people think heaven's only open from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. and heaven's open 24/7. Amen. So that's a myth. You can only pray from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can pray at any time of the day. Number two is another myth. You must pray at least 1 hour. They get that from that scripture that I just read out of Mark 14 when Jesus said, could you not pray with me for an hour? You know, that's just a figure of speech. Jesus wasn't saying, telling us all you need to pray for at least an hour. You know, I've had people say that they needed to, you know, tithe their day in prayer. Well, good luck with that. You know, I mean, I'm serious. You know, God just wants us to be, you can pray without ceasing as you go about your day, just having your thoughts upon God and praying and asking for his direction and his wisdom and guidance and all those things. Some people have a prayer journal, and and they think that their prayer journal, when they write things down, needs to sound like the King James Version of the Bible. You know, some people like to journal their prayers or what God speaks to them. I encourage that. I've done that from time to time. But you don't need to write it down in King James. God don't speak like that, all right? He speaks like you. You can write it in redneck, and that's how God speaks to me. So here I'm going to give you four. So those are some myths, and there's other ones out there. I just wanted to go over those. And I'm just going to give you four really simple, practical things that you can do in your prayer time. And here's number one. Number one is quiet and clear your mind. Quiet and clear your mind. It's easier said than done. I know this. It takes practice, and it takes you, you know, doing this and getting in the habit of doing this. And the scripture to go with this is Psalms 131, verse 2. And it says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." So what that means is when you get in the presence, and this is how a lot of us get in the presence of God. As soon as we get in the presence of God and we start praying, we start crying and whining about everything that's going on in our life. That's what we do, you know. And that's okay. God, we need to bring our concerns to God and everything. But I'm going to teach you something today. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. God already knows what's going on in your life and what you need. The Word even says, He knows what you need before you even ask. Now, He does want you to ask, but are every time that you get in the presence of God, are you just crying and whining, like this? But He said, I've learned to calm and quiet my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And when I was reading the scripture, I thought of Jarek, and this little boy is in love with his mama, because when he sees mama, it's like there's dinner. Right? Okay. I'm just going to be honest with you. And so because he's not weaned yet, so when she's in his presence, he's crying and whining for her. You know, he wants mama. And so that's the illustration. I hope that helps you, your picture view of this. That's what that scripture is saying. When I'm there in your presence, are you just crying and needing me all the time? Or can you just be calm and be quiet and just let me speak to you? All right. That's number one. Here's some other things to go with this, because even if you are quiet and you clear your mind, I've had this happen, you're like the weaned child, okay? And then all of a sudden your mind starts going, hey, you got a bill to pay. Hey, you need to call this person. Hey, you need to send a text right now to the, no, you don't. You need to send a text right now to this person. Hey, you know, you got this going on that day. And you need to say, Hey, shut up. I'm spending my time with the Lord. And here's the deal with our prayer lives. And I'm not saying it because I said earlier that we need to speak and we need to ask and all those things. But start doing this. Listen more than you talk. Just be quiet and listen. Listen more than you talk. All right. And in this time, what I'm going to encourage you to do is you need those three things in your quiet time. Your prayer time is prayer, worship, and the Word. And that's number two. Number two, focus your mind. And how you focus your mind is with worship. Put on a worship CD in your vehicle, or if you're at home, Jada at the house. We still have DirecTV, which we need to get rid of that. There's also many other things out there now. I was talking to Travis, and here this is going out on the radio, and I'm not plugging DirecTV. But Jada puts it on a channel called Contemporary Christian Music. It's just praise and worship music. And we just, when we're not watching TV or anything, she's got that on, and it's just filling our house with praise and worship. And it's a blessing. And here's the deal. We've had people come into our house that don't know us and come in our house, and they have told us, This has happened a few times. They've came in our house and just say, "Oh man, we just feel the peace of God here." That's awesome. That's an awesome testimony. But we try to fill our house with praise and worship and prayer. So focus your mind, and you do that through worship. And this is Psalms 100, verse 4. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name." So praise the Lord. Don't just wait till Sunday when we're here singing. Do it, you know, in your quiet time. Put it on a radio station and worship the Lord. All right, here's number three. Pray your mind. Pray your mind. And this is out of Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every, there's that word anxious, that word anxiety again, worry. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And basically what this is, pray your mind, tell the Lord what's on your heart, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it. Just pray your mind to him. Tell him what's going on. You know, God, and it's just amazing. I mean, bring it all to him. You know, David did. David was like, God, kick their teeth in. I'm paraphrasing it, redneck language. You know, and by the time that his prayer was over, he's praying for them because God had changed his heart in that situation. All right, here's the fourth thing. The last thing is renew your mind. And this is Romans 12, 2. This is where you've got it. There's prayer, there's worship, and there's the word. Here's where you need to get into the word. Renew your mind. Romans 12, 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And here's what I want to tell you. When you're praying and you're worshiping, the Holy Spirit will start speaking to you. And when you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit will start speaking to you. And he's speaking to you. He's not speaking to your spouse. He's not speaking to your kids. He's speaking to you. He's not speaking to your boss. He's not speaking to your coworkers. He's speaking to you. And so that's where you need to allow and let the Holy Spirit teach you. Here's a word that we don't hear often. Correct you, encourage you, and to love on you. Let the Holy Spirit do that. And I just told you about getting into the Word. We have a little devotional that gets you into the Word. And it's not, and you can even get this on your phone in an app version as well. And it's just a little paragraph that has some scriptures in it, and it gets you in the Word. I cannot tell you how many times this has spoke to me during the day that I needed that Word that came through there. It's amazing how God speaks to us through our Word. So did everybody learn something today? All right. Quiet and clear your mind. Focus your mind. That means worship. Pray your mind. Tell God your concerns. You know, let him have it, good, bad, and the ugly. He's got big shoulders, and that's why he wants you to cast all your cares upon him. And then renew your mind by getting in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach you and correct you, encourage you, and love you. Everybody learn. Does this encourage you to pray more and pray more often? Amen. And here's the battle is won in prayer, just like the battle was won for your soul and my salvation and your salvation in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where your battles are going to be won at too in life. And I just want to encourage you to start going to the Lord first and not last about everything that's going on in your life. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure, I do this every Sunday, that everyone here and those that are watching online and those that are listening by radio, that you know the Lord as your Savior, as your Lord. It's got to be personal. You can't go to heaven on mom and dad. You can't go to heaven on your grandparents. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And so the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer, a prayer of salvation. And if you're sitting here today and you do know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Excuse me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is water baptism, okay? And I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to have the honor of doing that, and we can fill it up next Sunday. That's a heated baptistry. It's the holy hot tub, okay? We can get you baptized next Sunday. But I want everybody to stand up in here. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Amen.
Good deal. Did everybody learn how to pray today?
Amen.
Everybody going to pray more often?
Amen.
All right, babe, will you come up here with me? And we're going to speak a blessing over you today, okay? Out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. And look at somebody and hug somebody's neck and say, Jesus prays. Love that sweater, Hayden.